Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Happy Snowflake Day.
Dude, I got to start with this question. Is this your first experience watching anything tied to Clone High?
No, okay. I do like vaguely remember this show existing. We talked about this on a past show. I did watch some of the different animation that MTV was putting out at the time. I was a really big fan of Undergrads, as we talked about before. But Clone High is one that I have vague memories of.
Okay. So I fucking love this show.
Yeah.
I think this show is a masterpiece. I think that this is the early signs of how brilliant Phil Lord and Chris Miller were going to be. And the fact that we're finally getting more Clone High in the coming months and or years makes me so excited. So I have a shit ton of notes I wrote down. I'm just going to rock through these notes in order and we will just talk.
Go for it.
First things first. The thing I love about Clone High is that it is such a brilliant parody of shitty teen drama, especially from the 2000s. So you do that
Previously on Clone High.
And then you get into this banger of a theme song from Abandoned Pools, which was the side project of the original bassist of the band Eels. Abandoned Pools does 95% of the music in the show.
The guy has a really... It almost sounds like Weird Al. Like
a little
his
bit
voice.
You would fucking love this band. Like, check out their first album, Humanistic. I think you would become a huge Abandoned Pools fan. Weirdly, not a Christian band, but did release an album on Tooth and Nail, like five albums deep. They put an EP out on Tooth and Nail. Theme song rules. So let me start here. What do you know about the show? Like, do you know the basic premise of who the characters are?
Like, I knew that they were clones of, you got Abraham Lincoln, Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, Gandhi.
What about Principal Scudworth?
No, I don't know who that is.
So Principal Scudworth is the person who's writing a end of the year letter throughout the show. That's kind of the framework of the commercial bumpers, is him writing this long, agonizing letter. He's the person who created all the clones. He was hired by shadowy government figures to clone all of the greatest world leaders, and thus the setup of the thing. So he's writing a letter to somebody, and that's where he introduces that this is going to be the first Snowflake Day after we've eliminated all of the other holidays and created the non-offensive, all-inclusive Snowflake Day.
And what I love about that is, like, they all act like they've had snowflake days in the past
for years.
Yeah, this is like Snowflake Day is a tradition.
Snowflake Day. Oh my God. So I love, we get Gandhi jumping in. Did any of these voices sound familiar to you, by the way? Because it's a stacked voice acting cast.
No. Okay. Like, I don't know.
Okay. So here, let me pull up just so I can make sure that I'm nailing all of this.
Okay.
So Bill Lawrence of Scrubs produced this show. The thing that was recently revealed was that the budget was so low on Clone High that, so Scrubs was filmed in an actual hospital.
Okay.
So, like, they found an old abandoned hospital, turned it into, like, a multi-functioning studio where they had, like, editing bays in the hospital. They had, like, storage in the hospital. They even had apartments in the hospital for, like, actors and guest stars to sleep in. They converted the basement into an animation studio, and they were secretly producing Clone High while they were filming Scrubs. So they would just send Scrubs cast members downstairs to do voiceovers throughout the show. But Will Forte is the voice of Abe Lincoln. He's the voice of the narrator as well on the show. Yeah. Joan of Arc is voiced by Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV. Gandhi is voiced by Michael McDonald from Mad TV. Cleopatra is voiced by Christina Miller, which is Bill Lawrence's wife, who plays Dr. Cox's wife on Scrubs. Then the big one is Donald Faison voiced like half the characters in this episode that we watched. He's the voice of Toots. He's like a ton of random voices because I guess they weren't filming a lot of Turk when they were making this episode, so they kept sending him downstairs. But we get introduced to Gandhi, who is the reason why the show got canceled.
Really?
People were very offended by the portrayal of Gandhi as like this crazy party animal. But he shows up and he's so excited. So Joan of Arc is not looking forward to Snowflake Day. Gandhi is you and I, baby.
Oh, yeah.
He comes running in. He's like, yo, happy Snowflake Day. This year's mascot is Snowflake Jack. He's going to send us spices for all of our good behavior. He's like, gotta go. There's going to be the traditional lighting of the snowman. And as he runs off, the most Dylan and Matt thing is he runs off and he's just going, bong, 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 bong. Like, But what I love is that every time that you think that Snowflake Day couldn't be more absurd, they just casually drop another piece of Snowflake Day. So as soon as he runs off, already introducing that the mascot is Snowflake Jack, that he's a pirate, and that he brings you spices for good behavior, and that they're doing a traditional lighting of a snowman, Abe Lincoln and Cleopatra walk in. He's like, hey, Cleo, you gonna get one of your traditional Snowflake Day lamb tacos? Like, it is so insane. And then the other thing that they do, they're parodying all these like trashy Dawson's Creek, Beverly Hills, 90210 type shows. So they have to do the guest star in this episode, and it's Mandy Moore. And they introduce Mandy Moore into this show. Voiced by Mandy Moore. And there's this constant thing where Joan of Arc is just like,
are you Mandy Moore?
Are you Mandy Moore? But she has this one line where Joan of Arc is complaining about Snowflake Day and the spices, and Mandy Moore goes, those lucky kids with their spices. I have to eat the salt that they sprinkle on the street when the road freezes.
I like Joan's response. It's like, oh, you too, being greedy.
It's so good because it's literally just playing on like every like Scrooge, like it's every Christmas special cliche.
Yeah.
Then it leads to what is the thing that I think about more than anything when I think about this show, which is when they show the claymation Snowflake Jack special.
Oh my God. Dreidelstein is my favorite thing ever.
So I wrote down so much stuff. That scene took me 5 minutes to watch because I kept pausing it to write down stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, they introduce, it starts off with Snowflake Jack and he's about to make Santa Claus, King Kwanzaa, and Dreidelstein walk the plank. And Dreidelstein's just like, Dreidelstein, sorry, Gimmel. But there's two lines that show up. And like the one is like Santa Claus, who's also voiced by Donald Faison.
Yeah.
Says something along the lines where he's like, we're sorry, we should have never been a bad holiday. And he's like, it wasn't that you were bad. You were just specific.
Yep,
specificity be the enemy of unity. And now let us all join in a traditional, all religions are equally valid, Snowflake Day celebratory cabbage patch.
This is the world liberals want, guys.
Yeah, 100%. It's so fucking funny. This show is legitimately one of the funniest cartoons that has ever been produced. And this one, we kind of lucked out because I forgot that this is like one of the goriest episodes that they've ever done of Clone High.
Yeah, it is, dude.
Abe keeps slicing open his face over and over.
Because Abe and like Cleo says to Abe, I want something expensive. And Abe's like, all right. So they do what did he say? Any American does. And
what a good Christian does. Good I'm going to do this the Christian way and get a job.
Get a job. So him and Gandhi go get jobs.
Well, they're working at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And Gandhi's complaining that he has to keep bringing knives and forks to people.
Yeah.
And he wishes that if only there was a way that he could bring one utensil instead of two. So they try to create the Nork, which is a knife fork combo. And it is just like when they do the first taste test and Abe slices his cheek open and he's just talking and it's just like this flapping piece of skin on the side of his face. It's so horrifying to look at, even in an animation segment. And then they do like, they just keep getting it so over the top to the point that it is like a giant gas powered tank on your back that you have to like drive with a foot pedal. And they're doing this very like the Music Man type production to show how easy it is to use. And Abe falls off screen and it is just gallons of blood spraying on Gandhi as he's still standing with like a Vanna White stance. Like it's like those little bits that kill me towards the end of the episode where Cleopatra gifts Abe Lincoln a Nork and it's the only one in existence that he made.
Exactly.
So he knows she fished it out of the trash and he yells at her. And the way that Will Forte delivers the following dialogue change up, he just goes, I want you to think about what you've done and I'm going to go get some bite-sized wieners. And then it's immediately,
oh, bite-sized wieners!
Like, so excited. But Joan of Arc has put razor blades in it, so he bites into it and he's screaming and he just goes, why do I keep cutting open my mouth?
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
It's so good. But then there's this part where Gandhi explains to Abe, you should do something from the heart. Make her something.
Yeah.
And he starts making her a kind of shitty macaroni silhouette thing. But there's a song that's playing underneath him that's very beautiful. And it's by this South African artist named James Stewart. So he had two songs in this show.
Okay.
This one's not as memorable. So they did an episode. You'll notice every previously on or like at the start, they'll say like on a very special episode of Clone High. Like every episode is a parody of a very special episode of a teen show.
Yeah.
They did an episode called Litter Kills Literally. And in that episode, they introduced Ponce de Leon, who had never been in the show up until this point. And he's voiced by Luke Perry. So they're getting in that like Beverly Hills 90210 vibe. And he's the coolest kid in town. And he loves littering so much. Like he's just like he thinks it's the coolest thing. And then he's left by himself one day and he slips on a banana peel, smashes his head against a bottle, starts bleeding out, a plastic bag wraps around his head, a bunch of like, he just gets like massacred by the litter. So he was JFK's best friend and JFK is grieving. And there's a scene where he's like sitting down, looking at the water, thinking about his dead friend. But they play this legitimately beautiful song called like The Meaning of Goodbye, where it's like, there's a hole you left inside me, a broken-hearted souvenir filled with memories that you left behind that remind me you were here. Like, it's like such a like serious song for this cartoon ridiculousness. And like hardcore fans like me have been trying to find the song forever.
Yeah.
I found it today on his Bandcamp. He uploaded it during the pandemic. And I want to read to you what he wrote. He put up an album called The Clone High Demos. And it was the two songs that made it into Clone High. And he said, I was thrilled that I heard that two of my songs, demos at the time, were selected for a brand new animated series called Clone High. It was never screened in my home country of South Africa, so I had no idea of the level of popularity and following that the series had. Years later, I was very surprised to see, I must confess, I was Googling myself, some grainy screen grab videos with my song, and so many comments wondering, where can I find this song? And did this artist even exist? And if so, how shitty is his marketing that they can't, that they somehow managed to bury a song on the World Wide Web? Besides a few sheepish comments and apologies of my own directed to anyone interested, directing anyone interested to my Bandcamp, I gratefully and was pleased to see a fantastic support of downloads from all around the world. Forgetting, yes, that I can be slow on the uptake, that I had released both of these songs and made a bunch of production and instrumentation changes from what would later be the final versions for my album release in 2010. So I had to really rack my brain to come up with an answer for a fan who had tracked me down and pointed out that the differences from the former and the latter recordings really made it hard for him to connect with the songs. Eventually, I combed through all of my master tapes and uncovered the original early demos of this song. Sorry that it took two decades for me to get my shit together. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Anyway, here we are, the original versions. I hope you enjoy them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I love that for him, though.
That is the Matt Kelly version of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, where like, yeah, that guy went missing for like years.
20 years.
Yeah, nobody knew where he was.
No one knew where he was. So the only other two notes that I have is that a very small subplot of the episode is that JFK is working on his Snowflake Day
album. Okay, all right, so I have two things. I have two things that I absolutely adore.
Okay.
And that's one of them. I love JF King sings the Snowflake Day hits.
Because my favorite one is away in a taco, no spice for my lamb.
My favorite is it's a Jeff Foxworthy redneck Snowflake Day.
I also like that there's jerky balls. It's like jerky balls. And then the next one is jerky balls part two. And it's like jerky balls.
My second favorite part of this episode involves who quickly became my favorite character. And that's Toots.
Oh, is this the quote that I wrote down as well? Because that's my last note.
Is it the, Joan, I thought you were dead.
I shot you because you wouldn't stop biting me.
Because he mistakes, what is it, a lion?
It's a mountain lion.
A mountain lion for Joan.
So the thing you have to understand is that Toots, also voiced by Donald Faison, is, so with all these clones, they are given to foster families.
Yeah.
And they do a really great job of like making the foster families the total opposite of these characters. So like JFK lives with two gay men.
Oh, okay.
Joan of Arc lives with an old blind jazz musician named Toots. And they go out of their way to make plenty of both old, blind, and black jokes,
yeah,
about Toots. One of my favorite ones is there's an episode where they all get makeovers and they reveal the makeover to Toots. And he's staring at a blank wall and he just goes, oh my God.
That's the next episode, right?
Yeah.
Where they're like, they get a makeover and they, yeah, get a makeover.
It's a bunch of dumb jokes like that. But yeah, so he is trying to cheer up Joni because she's lost her Snowflake Day spirit. And like you said, this is the first Snowflake Day. And he's, yeah, like, remember all those Snowflake Days that we would do the traditional Cabbage Patch together? Like they just.
And then they do the Cabbage Patch.
But she's not doing it. He's like, there you go, you got it. But he goes out into the woods to find Joan of Arc when she runs away.
Yeah.
And while he's walking through the woods, he's going, Joni, where are you? And he bumps into a mountain lion and she jumps on him and starts chewing on him. And he goes, I knew I'd find you, Joni. I'm just happy you're okay. So then, yeah, she shows up. My friend pointed this out. This is the best line.
Yeah.
Is like you said, she walks in and he goes, Joni, I thought you were dead. I shot you because you wouldn't stop biting on me. But what's extra funny is that he's wearing the mountain lion, yep, like a cape, which throws 1,000 questions up there if he thought that that was actually his foster daughter that he's proudly wearing as a cape.
Oh, so fucking good, dude.
It's
Thank
such
you.
A great show.
Thank
it's
you for
such
this.
A brilliant show. You should definitely watch the full series. It's only 13 episodes. They're apparently finally bringing back a second season because the first season ended on a cliffhanger, which was real frustrating for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But here we are. Yeah, this was huge for me in college. Like,
yeah,
I watched this when it aired when I was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And then I remembered of its existence and I hit up Pirate Bay and was able to download all of the episodes because MTV only aired the first 6 episodes. The rest of the show was like a giant mystery. And
this was Matt Kelly peak piracy, soul patch, long hair.
Sort of. Because after I watched all the illegal downloaded ones, I immediately tried to find a DVD and I was able to buy one from Canada. So I was like, all right, now okay, I own these. Because I am not a thief. I am a sampler. I use Pirate Bay to sample and then purchase. Yeah. But yeah, so this became one of those things that I showed to a bunch of my friends my freshman year of college. And when I tell you that, like, so much random shit became part of our vernacular, like, this episode specifically, we would quote that Joni line just out of context all the time. Just be like, oh my God, I thought you were dead. I shot you because you wouldn't stop bothering me. Like, it's like stupid lines like that. My one buddy Dan would literally just be like, bomb, 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 bomb. Like, he would like walk through the hallway. Like, we were obnoxious. We were obnoxious kids. We were the nerds at a college filled with nerds. So we were really in our zone. But like, this show was so important to me. And it's a show that I like continue to show to people in my life, because it is like right up there with like Daria and Scrubs. Like, this is one of the most watched shows in my life. And I can quote it like the way that some people can quote like Simpsons and Seinfeld episodes by verbatim. Yeah. Like, if someone gives me the setup to a Clone High joke, I got the follow up line like locked and loaded, ready to go.
I'm definitely going to check out the whole thing. It's for those of you that are curious, it's all up on YouTube. There is a channel on YouTube called...
I think it's on HBO Max, too.
Is it? Really?
Okay. Because I think HBO Max is where they're going to air the second season.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Or Paramount Plus. One of those. Some channel, some streaming finally got
it's
it.
It's available.
Yeah. You can find it. You can find it and you can watch it. And it is very funny, and especially if you grew up on those like Dawson's Creek, Gilmore Girls, like all of those teen centric shows that were, you know, aimed at kids, and every episode felt like a very special episode of like, it nails that tone in a beautiful way and filled with great guests.
I am guest curious if they're, and apparently this is a question across the internet, if they're going to bring Gandhi back.
I hope that they do. I feel like they have to, but we'll see. Yeah. We will find out,
dude. But thank you for your introduction of Clone High. Because, like I said, I remember, I vaguely remember it. Like, I knew the premise. I've seen these characters before, but I had never watched an episode. So,
well, and I, like I said, the band Abandoned Pools makes up a large chunk of the music of the show. Yeah. But just to give you a quick idea. A few of the other bands that are included in these 13 episodes include, but not limited to, Alkaline Trio, American Football, Catch 22, Taking Back Sunday, The Stereo, Saves the Day, Hot Rod Circuit, Thursday, Dashboard Confessional, The Get Up Kids, Snapcase, and then a bunch of bands I've never heard of.
Damn.
But the point being, it is a very pop punk, emo, Midwest, hardcore centric show. And Dylan, there's only one last thing to say, and that is Happy Snowflake Day, buddy.
Happy Snowflake Day, dude.
May Snowflake Jake bring you all of the greatest spices.
Yarg!
Whoa, oh, whoa, oh, now we won't stop till the big ball drops on New Year's. Hop, hop, happy holiday, have a great, great, great holiday, have a merry, 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 merry happy holiday.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.